This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Cody Besson. Cody is CEO for Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We'll talk with Cody Besson coming up in just a few moments. You know, after two straight years of above average food price increases, what's in store for food shoppers in the new year? Well, Matt McLaughlin is an economist with USDA.
For now, we are forecasting that prices for all food will increase between 2 and 3%, and that food away from home prices will increase 3 to 4%. That's slightly above their historical average of about 2.8%. And that food at home will increase somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5%, centered on its historical average of 2%.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Cody Besson. Cody is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock and online at plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. Well, Cody, as we start our conversation, we also start a conversation in a brand new year. But kind of hard to jump into 2022 yet if we don't wrap up 2021. So maybe that's a good place to start. When you look back in the rearview mirror, what do you see?
Sure. So it's great to be with everybody in the new year. And certainly 21 has been a unique year from a lot of different focal points, the crop year being one of them for sure. And all crop years are unique. This one shaped up to be, you know, relatively a great year in all comparisons. We started off the year, if most remember, in 21, very dry, very kind of bleak looking in regard to cropping conditions and price. And then all of a sudden, as we get into our traditional planting time frame here in the High Plains and Southern High Plains, fortunately, Mother Nature started to cooperate a little bit better, and we saw some very timely rainfall throughout the growing season, as well as we saw very good price indicators where people were able to capture some market as price continued to trickle up throughout the growing season and throughout the calendar year. As we kind of rolled into the harvest season, production was certainly, it's certainly been bountiful for the most part, not overall everywhere, but certainly a much better picture than what we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years, and very muchly needed across our region and across the state of Texas. From a production standpoint, the statewide estimates for the state crop is pegging at around 8 million bales, which is probably not too far off from what we will end up with the final recount and number. From our Plains Cotton Growers region, we're probably going to shape up to around 60% of that, roughly anywhere from 4.5 to 5 million bales, depending on how the rest of the cropping situation stands out. You know, currently, even though we're past 2021 and headed into 2022, we certainly have not been without some of our challenges and issues, albeit we are having a good crop year finishing out this season. It's very evident with the amount of production that is somewhat still in the field, that is still being ginned. There's still some gins that are going to be operating on into the first quarter of this calendar year, which shows and kind of is indicative of a good cropping situation. Price still continues to hold its steady pace of robustness, which is a positive note, especially for cotton that is still looking to be marketed or is open cotton trying to find a home in the marketing situation. But certainly, as I mentioned, this year has not come without some of its challenges. We are seeing still a little bit of lag in folks receiving timeliness of cotton grade. A lot of that is indicative of the continuance in labor shortage in some of these classing offices across the U.S., as well as supply and demand issues, supply chain issues and disruptions that we continue to see from a lack of parts and equipment that are more readily available for not only the producers, but also the ginning segments, as well as if you look at some of the other cotton industry segments that need equipment repair more timely and more readily. So certainly that's been a big challenge throughout this 2021 year, and certainly we're seeing some of that carrying over into 2022. And then you kind of spin around and look at from a federal policy standpoint or a federal landscape in D.C. and across the U.S., it's been a whirlwind of a year. Even in regard to that, we've seen very successful policy initiatives that have been put forth, throughout the initial stages of 2021 to try to help ease some of the impact that we have seen in the supply chain from the producer all the way through the gin, mill, and textile segments across the board. One thing that comes to mind from the producer segment was the initial pandemic cover crop program that came out at the mid-year of 2021 that helped lessen some of the impact of COVID. In addition to in trying to get the global and the world and U.S. economy going from a cotton logistics standpoint, there was also a third round of the coronavirus food assistance program that was implemented to help jumpstart the economy a little bit going into a new year in 2021. Other incidents that we also experienced that some may remiss or forget, but certainly to be mindful of, is we did experience one of the most prolific storms we have seen in my existence and probably those in the last 60 years through Winter Storm Uri that had a large broad brush impact to the state of Texas and across some of the Mid-South. We are still certainly seeing some of the impacts and effects on our energy grid because of that, and a lot of focus trying to make sure that we don't wind up in that same type of predicament moving forward. And then we also saw very large incidents of the hurricane and other disasters that took place throughout 2021. And all that being said, as we wind up the 2021 back in the fall and in September, Congress did muster up enough initiative to pass the extension to keep the government doors open, to keep offices like FSA and NRCS functioning as they rolled out farm safety net programs. But also they were able to authorize an additional round of funding for a secondary disaster program that more than likely we believe will be rolled out and implemented either in the first or second quarter of 2022 to try to provide some assistance for the disaster-related events that we've experienced over the last couple of years and shore up some of that financial gap that we've seen in the industry itself. Finishing out some portions of the year, Congress was able to implement a infrastructure and transportation package. A large focal point on that for the rural economies and specifically our region in general was an expansion of rural broadband to try to enhance internet connectivity across our region, which has been lacking for quite some time now. And then a lot of brick and mortar and other infrastructure initiatives that will be cast across the U.S. to try to update our system in general, which hasn't had this type of reform for quite some time. And then moving into the last part of the year, Congress was unable to enact the administration's Build Back Better Act, just for lack of a consensus to get it through the Senate, thanks to some of the leadership for our own senators here in Texas, but also across the board from some others outside of state, namely being Joe Manchin, a senator from West Virginia, and Kristen Sinema, a senator from Arizona, who just couldn't get to a point of yes within their own party. A lot of it was housed around the controversy we continue to see of the impact of the potential inflation that we are seeing currently and what that will look like moving forward, as well as just a larger spending initiative with not a lot of logistical details of how that money is being directed at this point in time. And then more specifically, the concerns that we had from an agricultural sector was the pay for it, how they were considering as a congressional body to pay for this new larger spending package that the administration wanted to pursue, whether that be changing how our current step up in basis works today, capital gains, or other provisions that we utilize as an agricultural industry from a tax reform provision. Fortunately, those current tax provisions that we utilize today are left untouched. The way they currently operate, as they have done in the previous years, is still the current law of the land. And so we were very successful as a conglomerate agricultural industry, fending off changes to financial reforms and tax reforms that we use today. And we'll continue to do that in the new year as Congress continues to debate or negotiate some form or version of a Build Back Better Act by the administration.
You know, Cody, we've got a few minutes left here, and I know we're weaving some of what's needs to be done in 22 with what was going on in 21, because obviously issues don't recognize the calendar. But is there anything else that's on the radar as we work our way through this year?
Yeah, there's a couple of things for folks to be mindful of and focus on. First and foremost, and in the most near term, is the smooth implementation of USDA's disaster program that all of the ag industry currently has been engaged in, including us and the council and others. But in the immediate term, also, you see environmental and regulatory challenges being very forthcoming through our current EPA, whether that be challenges to our current herbicide chemistry and technology that we have today. And we continue to be very vocal in pushing back on those initiatives to dismantle the current trade packages and chemistry that we need and have today. In addition, from a larger overall regulatory overreach, the administration continues to focus on rewriting of waters of the U.S., which certainly has been very problematic for farmers and ranchers for years to come, and we'll continue to focus on that. And lastly, I would say as well, even though we are not quite into the 2023 write-up of the Farm Bill, as we begin this new year in 2022, there will be multiple discussions starting to focus on that. And so I just encourage producers, industry segments, organizations of like to continue to be engaged in that process with their membership organizations as well as Congress in general. So that way, as we construct this new 2023 Farm Bill, it'll be very robust. It'll be a true and good an adequate safety net for all segments in cotton and other commodities as we move forward. And certainly it's a lengthy process. We don't get from point A to point Z very quickly, but it is very strategically and very mindfully done, and the time is now to start that process.
Cody, a lot going on right now, but again, if we want to keep up with what's going on with Plains Cotton Growers, website a pretty good place to go?
Website's a great place at plainscotton.org, or they can always feel free to come by and see us at the office in Lubbock. Or feel free to contact us anytime at our office number at 806-792-4904.
Again, Cody Besant is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Website address one more time is plainscotton.org. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Control your growing environment like never before with a Sunflower 1436 disc harrow. With a design that is fine-tuned to work precisely and easily, you can give each seed its best shot at a healthy return. Whatever your soil type or tillage practice, the Sunflower line of disc harrows is your best choice for rugged, reliable performance. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
As farmers and ranchers, stewardship of the land comes naturally. Your work keeps our water clean, improves the soil, and enhances wildlife habitat. It also provides countless benefits, not just for you and your family, but for millions of Americans who depend on this region every day without even realizing it. Thank you for being stewards of America's prairie for all of us. Take a moment to find out how conservation pays. Visit conservationpays.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Cody Besant with Plains Cotton Growers.
Hi, I'm Debbie Childress, director of the Grayson County Alliance, a food pantry in rural Kentucky. Thanks to a local farmer, we recently received a $2,500 donation from America's Farmers Grow Communities, sponsored by the Monsanto Fund, a philanthropic arm of Bayer. As a result, we expanded a classroom where we teach families about nutrition and personal finance. I encourage all farmers to enroll for a chance to direct a $2,500 donation to a local nonprofit. Visit growcommunities.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Cody Besant, Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Blame it on COVID or supply chain problems or any number of other factors, but when 2021 is finally over here, we probably will have seen 2 years of accelerated food price increases, 3.5% for grocery store foods in 2020, another 3.5% in 2021. But fortunately, hopefully,
we usually see decelerations following accelerations.
Usually. That's USDA economist and our new food price tracker, Matt McLaughlin. We've certainly had the acceleration part in 2020 and 21, but Matt is tentatively projecting deceleration for 2022.
That's not to say that food prices are going to go down. It's just the rate at which they have increased should slow a bit.
So to be perfectly clear, as USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer told us,
a slowing of the increase still means higher prices.
And for grocery store food, it looks like another 2% or so hike in 2022 on top of 2020's 3.5%. Gary Crawford, Washington.
It's the Agribusiness Report.